Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We have covered the foundational three of love, joy, and peace. Last week, we looked at the first of the next three that are to be visible in our lives as Christians and as the church, patience, kindness, and goodness. This morning, we will see how God shows his kindness to us. We'll see God shows his kindness through his creation, through his son Jesus, and that we are to display this kindness to others so it leads to people believing in Jesus. What kind of things can you remember that have made a big impact on you? How can we show kindness on an everyday basis that gives more than the person expects? I'm looking forward to talking about the simple but yet powerful characteristic of kindness. May God bless and keep you this week. May you feel his peace and presence in your life. And thank you for listening.
Our senior high school student puppet group leads children's time.
Good morning, and thank you for coming today. Hello to our online friends, too. What do you wait for? Your birthday? Christmas? Summertime? School? It's how we wait for that important, for what's important. Pastor Russ is highlighting the fruit of the Spirit. Today's word is patience.
Patience means to wait in a calm way. Too many times we want something right now, but that isn't patience. Waiting for dinner means keeping calm until our parents have the meal ready for us to eat. That is worth patience. Patience means showing love to others like God loves us. When we have patience, the wait will be worth it. God keeps his promises.
The first fruits were love, joy, and peace. These are our attitudes towards God. Patience, kindness, and goodness deal with how we treat others. We want you to treat others like you want to be treated. The last three fruits deal with your conduct as a Christian. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit, the first three fruits are one-syllable words. The second fruits have two syllables. Try it sometime by clapping your hands.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for all you have given us. Help us to show patience with others so they can see your love in us. We know it will be worth the wait. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our special music is Brandon Embry with his guitar singing, "I Can Only Imagine."
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? I be able to speak it all, I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? For in all of you be still, will I stand in your presence? To my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Oh yeah, I can only I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Jenny Medlin reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon on one of the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of patience.
Our first lesson comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 37, verses 1 through 9. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Our second lesson comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
We continue our look at the fruit of the Spirit this morning. We've kind of laid the foundation, love, joy, and peace. But for one that I struggle with, and I have struggled with it all my life, I remember there's a song I'm trying to remember our little girls sang. I don't know if you remember. I think there's a show called The Wiggles. I'm trying to remember what they were. And there's a song called be patient, don't get in such a hurry. That was the name. It just, you know, that one just kind of rhymes in my head. And it's always stuck with me. But with me, and I'm sure like many of you in this room, being patient is a daily test. Maybe it's the DMV on the last day of the month here in California. Go in there, and what do you see? You got to pull your ticket, and the whole place is full. You even have to sit next to someone. You know, we give that courtesy chair. You know, when we're in there, if there's enough space, there's always a space between you and the next person. The last day of the month, no courtesy chairs are available. And so you have to go in. How many people have popped their head in at the DMV and looked and said, no, not today? All right? Yes, you understand what I'm talking about. Drive through McDonald's or Burger House, wherever we want to go. I make my choices a lot of times on the shortest drive through, not what I'm looking for, but how long will I be sitting in line? And so it's a constant struggle. We want to get things done quickly. We don't want to wait. If you're waiting on the line for your doctor or someone, you know, you hear the music and you're online for a long time there. That's why I think the first three, as Judy said in children's time, are the foundational ones. Love, joy, peace. They're like the spiritual footers, the spiritual headers, the spiritual main beams of our spiritual house. If we can have those internally, we can start to practice ones that make a difference in our daily lives, like patience. And I have struggled with it so much over, and I still struggle with it today. But it's a necessary quality of a mature Christian to have patience. We're going to look at three areas this morning that we need to have patience in. Number one, we're going to look at patience in our difficulties, the daily struggle. Some of us have long-term struggles and difficulties that we're going through. How do we learn to be patient in those areas? The second one's probably one of the most difficult ones as well. Patience with people. People that irritate us. People that have, you know, come in contact and we've had, you know, confrontations with. People that have hurt us in the past. And then finally, patience with God and His promises. As we read this morning, He gives us a promise, but a lot of His promises are not immediate promises. But the first one we look at this morning is patience with difficulties. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says this, "Be joyful in hope and patient in affliction." That means difficulties. That means struggles, short-term and long-term. The Apostle Paul wrote about his long-term difficulties in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." He says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" He said, "Not today. I'm not taking away your torment. I'm not taking away this thorn in the flesh." So Paul had a choice. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul is saying, when I can't handle it anymore myself, I'm going to turn it over to God. But that it's so hard to be patient in our difficulties, especially long-term ones with no hope of any type of resolution. Some people have given a definition of patience this way. In the Greek language, there was not a word that was really used for patience because it was not a valued characteristic in their culture. The way that they responded was to immediately lash out or immediately respond and immediately take revenge. This is truly a Christian word that Paul adapts here and gives to us as Christians. Some people have said it this way, a courageous endurance without quitting. The ability to endure injuries inflicted by others and the willingness to accept them in painful situations as well. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us to look at Noah. James and Peter tell us to look at Job and to look at the prophets. And they tell us there in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, meaning he didn't know exactly what he was going through, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. He didn't, you know, he had to wait over 100 years for what God had told him to happen actually happened. But when we practice patience through difficulties, we develop perseverance. And perseverance gives us character, and then character gives us hope. But then we look at the life of Job. You read all 41 chapters before you get to 42, and you see all through all the difficulties that Job went through. And you see his questions to God. You see his complaints to God, just like that we have in our times of testing. And finally, in the very last chapter, after everything had happened, after God had spoke to him, this is what Job said. He says, I know now that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures your plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. I think that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying. Before all these difficulties, I focused on myself. Now I focus on you. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us to focus on the prophets. Many of them who never got to see the fulfillment of the prophecies that God gave them. They tell us about that in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. Since God had something better planned for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. Somehow God can see through the difficulties something better that we can't see. And only together with those saints, only together with those people around us that have gone through those difficulties, can we make it through those difficulties with patience. But I look to people that I know and have known. I value and I cherish the last 2 to 3 months with Bubby Oliver. Bubby knew what the diagnosis was. He was on hospice care. But every time I saw him, there was no woe is me. He knew what his faith was. He knew exactly where he was going. He knew what was in store for him. And he was going to take advantage of every moment to spend it with family and friend alike. And every time that I was with him, he'd always say, pray with me before you go. If he was on the phone when I walked in, he would tell the guy on the phone, the preacher's here. I need to get off the phone. The last time I really got to spend with him was and have any valuable conversation was the Friday of Masters weekend. That's a golf term for those people that don't know golf. And I told Betty, I said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to spend an hour in his room and we're going to watch the Masters together and chat like any normal day. He was propped up on one arm, laying on his bed. He was asleep when I first walked in there, but he finally woke up and he looked at me, how long you been? I said, oh, about 10 minutes. I said, and while I was gone, I changed the channel to find the golf tournament anyway. So it worked out pretty well. So when he woke up, we watched the golf together and we just chatted like we did many times before. But I looked at him and I told my wife when I came home, I said, that's how I want to approach it. If that ever happens to me, and I know my days are numbered, I want to approach that time just like Bubby Alder did. Or my friend Heidi, that went through ALS and passed away not quite a year ago. I watched her faith get stronger as her body got weaker. And so that's how you develop patience through your difficulties. You look through the saints of the Bible, but you look to friends and family that have gone through the same difficulties and ones that are going through those difficulties right now. But probably the one that's most difficult a lot of times for many of us is patience with people. I think that's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. The very first thing he says is what? Love is patient. Love is patient. It's patient with people to develop and overcome the mistakes of their life. They're patient with people when things happen in their life or they hurt someone unknowingly and not on purpose. That's why I had Jenny read James chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. He talks about, you know, us looking forward to the promise. But in there, what did he say? While we're being patient, what did he say? Or what did he write? Don't grumble. Don't grumble. Don't grumble against one another. He says, because the judge is at the door. But boy, we do like to grumble, don't we, when people get crisscrossed with us. We like to find sympathizers that feel the same way so we can all grumble together. People that maybe not have the same opinion as us or maybe see things differently. When that happens in a church, no matter how good the church looks on the outside, no matter how many pictures are beautiful the stained glass windows are, but it can destroy churches like rot destroys a church as our termites do. But true Christian patience gives people time to grow and mature. Paul wrote the church in Ephesus. He says, live a life worthy of your calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Christian patience, Christian love leads us to be able to forgive and build and reconcile relationships that have been harmed. Colossians chapter 3 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. He says, learn to live a life of patience. Dreen Huff gave me some Rosa Sharon bushes 4 or 5 years ago. She warned me that if I didn't manage them well, they would spread throughout. And boy, they drop their seeds and they just sprout up everywhere. And if you don't pay attention to them, they will take over. And if you let them go too long, then they get too tall and you cannot pull them out by the root anymore yourself. The same thing happens when we don't practice patience and we let things start to settle in and take root that divide us from one another. It can be difficult to reconcile and restore that relationship. A couple little things that we can start a conversation about, a common interest, to show that person that, hey, I value you. I want to have conversation. I want to have a relationship with you. For me, a good conversation starter is anything about grandkids. There's nothing bad about grandkids. You got grandkids, you're always willing to talk about your grandkids and brag about them and last time you saw them. If they don't have grandkids, find another common interest, something that isn't, you know, something that will set off anything. Maybe write them a note, because we need to remember that we are not finished products. Paul writes to the Ephesians and says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But God's putting on his finishing strokes, chiseling off the last pieces of rock to get the perfect statue of us as a disciple and a servant. But we have to practice patience with people because God gave patience to us. And then the final area that we struggle with patience with us is with God and his promises. We see it there that he says, be patient with God's plan for you and for his future home for us. We want it now. I mean, I like to put stuff in the microwave and eat it immediately. But he told the disciples, he told the prophets, he told the saints that you're going to have to wait, some of you, a whole lifetime and into eternity to see the reward that God has for you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he talks about the promises of Jesus returning and the judgment to come. He says there's going to be people that are going to scoff and say, this is not going to happen. But then he says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And then you skip down to verse 15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. We are to be patient with God and his promises. We have to learn to wait on God. Be still and know that he is God. I've got a good friend that reminds me regularly that God is God and you're not. But we see there that God has promises for us, that he is going to return, that he has a place waiting for us, heaven itself. And he tells us about Noah, to look to Noah. Chris, how many days till Christmas? 151 is what I have, all right? I had 151. But I'll take your number of 150 for that. Hours are counting down. I'm not down to hours and minutes. But it's hard for us to wait for big events, weddings or babies, grandbabies that are coming. But God tells us that we have to be patient while we're waiting for the biggest events of our life. I've watched many of you post pictures of your vacation on Facebook. Man, we've gone to Niagara Falls. We've gone to the beach. We've gone west. We've gone all these different places. And I know that you just did not get in your car one day and just start driving and hope that a revelation came to you where you were going to spend vacation. I know many of you have researched it. You found out the times, you reserved a place to stay, you know, looked at the route that you're going to take. I would hazard a guess many times that we spend more time planning our summer vacation than making plans for heaven itself. And we have to have that destination in mind. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, writes in Hebrews chapter 6 to Abraham. He says, we write you these things so we don't want you to become lazy, but we want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. It may look like, you may say, man, nothing's going to happen. Jesus is not going to return. Heaven is just a figment of people's imagination. But Jesus Christ says, not so fast, my friends, in the words of Lee Corso. He tells us that we have to be patient. Imitate those that have gone before us, be ready for that gift that God only has for us. So how do we develop patience? Number one, I'm going to give you 7 or 8 R's real quick. Resolve to say, I'm going to make a change today. Maybe your environment was around one that it was hard to be patient because your parents didn't mirror patience to you. And so you had a hard time waiting or you were instantly responsive, but you need to make that resolution that I'm going to start working on this issue. You need to realize the damage that impatience does. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it with my kids. I've seen it with friends and families that when I responded quickly and did not give time for God's grace and mercy to work in my heart, to make me be patient, not respond, that it's caused issues. We need to reflect and understand the damage that impatience can do with our relationships and with our faith itself. We need to find good ways to release our impatience. Find good ways maybe to go out by ourselves and ask God to release it from our heart. Proverbs chapter 22 says, do not make friends with hot-tempered people. Do not associate with one easily angered. Or you may learn ways and get yourself ensnared. That way we need to relate ourselves with people that are patient. Ones that we can model after. My dad's best friend was Jason Snyder. Some of you know Jason. Jason and Linda lived here in California. They had a daughter named Carrie and a son named Michael. My dad and Jason worked together. They fished together for many years. I call him my dad's best friend. We would spend time together. I think one time when I was in the hospital visiting their daughter Carrie when she got cancer, I was railing on about work. About, you know, nobody respects me and I do all this work and if I left tomorrow, you know, they wouldn't know what to do. And he just looked at me very calmly and he said, Russ, if you left tomorrow, they would not miss a beat. They could fill your spot 2 days from now and things would go on just as the way that they have been before. And he wasn't being disrespectful. He wasn't being mean. He was just saying basically, get over yourself. Get over yourself. And learn to leave work as work and home as home and life as life. And I started to let those words sink into me and it helped me develop over time how to be patient in frustrating circumstances. And the last two that we see there is to rely on Christ. Romans 15:5 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. We only get this true Christian patience through our relationship with Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And then finally, remember that it's a process. You're not going to overcome it tomorrow. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make 3 steps forward and 1 step backward. But remember, God is patient. And because God is patient with you and me, we can be patient with those around us. But God gives us his greatest patience in the area of salvation. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy, the Apostle Paul, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. God gives us patience. He doesn't mark 7 strikes off and say he's redeeming, he's unredeemable, he's out the door. No matter how many mistakes, he says, Jesus has come back to me one more time. Because of his immense patience, his unlimited patience, one translation said. So you can never get too far away from God. But the thing we have to do is make that first step back to him. I love that verse in Revelation where it says, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't kick it in. He doesn't blow it up. He just gently knocks. Some of us, it might be a loud knock. But it's up to us to open the door. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. His patience is out there for us to take advantage of and make our lives right with him. Like I said, patience has been a struggle for me. It's caused wounds, but I see God's patience with others. I see his patience working in my life, and I know he can work it in your life. This morning, if you've never made that decision to take God up on his offer, to see how unlimited his patience is, to say, okay, here it is. I know you already know, but I'm going to give it all to you. Alan's going to be up front this morning. I'll be in the back. We can pray with you. You've got to struggle and say, man, I do want to turn it around. I want to make steps to be positive when I get frustrated. We can do that this morning as well. because Jesus wants all of us to come into a saving relationship with Him. That's what His patience is all about. And that same patience is available to us in our difficulties, in our relationships with people, and our relationship with God.